Jackson, Tennessee. Miguel just and the crew and the whole crew with the family from Jackson. Will you guys just stand for just a quick second? I just want you to see how they roll. This is how they roll. All right. God bless you. Thank you so much. They roll deep. Don't give us no hard time. We might have to call Jackson on you. They roll deep. Amen. Thank God again for all our guests. Let's give our connected community a hand that's joining us now. Come on, let them hear you. We're going to get into the Word of God. I know this is holiday weekend. Some of I see a lot of missing faces today. People still chilling. That's what they're doing. They ain't nowhere. They chilling. And don't eat enough ribs and don't want to move. I want to just listen. Our prayer digest for the month is out. And it's on the power of partnerships. It's what we pray every month. And every month a prayer digest is released. It's online. You can download it. And we do have some copies in the atrium, in the welcome area. Excuse the color. Our printer is a little clogged, but we're working on it. But it's a great guide. You can pray along with us during the month of July. Couple announcements, and then we're going to get into the Word of God and try to move along today. I do want to introduce a new series, so I'll get into that in a moment. Our 10th anniversary is coming up. Amen. And let me tell you, we got people coming. We have a relative coming from Florida, about 92 years old. She said, I want to be there. She's flying in from Florida. 93? Amen. 93. Flying in. And people coming from Chicago. We got apostles calling us booking whole tables for their people. So listen, Jen, don't y'all miss out now. Don't y'all miss out. Let's say we got to sell those ads. We got work to do. And we only got 5 weeks in which to do it. So we got a lot of work to do. So I'm going to meet with the leaders for just a few minutes after service. This is our typical leadership Sunday. But we're not going to hold you because we have family here, and I know you probably may have family and things to do today. So I'm going to hold you for a real 10 minutes after service, a real 10 minutes just to touch bases on some things with our leaders after service today. Amen. The other announcements I'll go through later. Let's get into introduce our new series, The Reintroduction. Let's put our declaration up. We haven't read that in a while. Thank God again for everybody that participated last month in Family Conversation Month. We did an interview format, and we just had great conversations about coping with loss, living single and loving it. Trying to think of some other ones, but it was just a great teens. We talked to the teens. Thank you. A couple of teens, we had a conversation around the altar. Model Men, we launched Model Men Ministry, and we'll have our first official meeting at the end of this month. And so we thank God for everyone that participated in June. Okay, let's go. Let's do our declaration. Let's read it together. Father, I thank you for the word. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I can do what your word says I can do. I can have what your word says I can have, and the power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. Amen. We have two scriptures we want to read, and we're going to get into it. Jeremiah, in the NIV, Jeremiah 18, 1 through 5. The Lord spoke the word to Jeremiah. He said, go to the potter's house. There I will give you my message. I went to the potter's house, and he was working there. at his will. Whenever a clay pot he was working on was ruined, he would rework it. Say rework it into a new clay pot, and the way he wanted to make it. The Lord spoke his word to me. The Lord asked, "Nation of Israel, can't I do with you as this potter does with clay?" Nation of Israel, you are like clay in the potter's hands. That's Jeremiah 18, 1 through 5. Isaiah 45 and 9. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds. That means fragments of pottery, unfinished fragments. Among the potsherds on the ground, does the clay say to the potter, "What are you making?" Does your work say the potter has no hands? Today I want to introduce the reintroduction. So just hang with me as we lay the foundation today. And today I want to give you, and I want to give you insight over what can really is a can assassinate your reintroduction. So I want to tell you what reintroduction is, and I want to give you something to watch out for that could ruin your reintroduction. Amen. Because God wants to reintroduce his people. He doesn't want you to continue as an old version of yourself, because God is constantly doing a new thing in you. And sometimes people want to hold you to an old version, who you used to be. I remember when you used to be drugs and addicted to drugs. They want to hold you to that. But when God gets a hold to you, he makes you new. He wants to reintroduce you. Why don't you tell somebody God wants to give you a fresh introduction of who I am. An introduction is an act of bringing into existence. So reintroduction is to introduce something again. We heard the slogan, whether you like it or not, "Make America Great Again." It's a campaign slogan. But really, it's in essence, it's the reintroduction defined. To represent. To reintroduce, to bring back the things that made America great, to reintroduce them again. We see reintroduction in a lot of facets of life. Reintroduction in restoration. Joel 2 and 25 through 26 says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord, the God that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." Restoration is a reintroduction. You went through some losses. You took some hits. God restores you and reintroduces you. We see reintroduction in a change of status. Recently, my son got promoted from sergeant to lieutenant. Everybody knew him as Sarge. Now they're calling him LT because he was what? Reintroduced. In a new status. And Isaiah 61 and 7 says that. Instead of shame and dishonor, this is how you were. This was your formal introduction, your former one. You will enjoy double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land. So I'm going to change your status. You were broke. I'm going to reintroduce you as wealthy. You, amen, you were struggling. Now God does something in your life. He reintroduces you as succeeding. You were losing, but now you're winning. The Lions went through a major reintroduction. Amen. They lost their shame. Even I got a Lion's license plate on my truck. New technology, in most cases, is simply a reintroduction of old. Improvements are made. New bells and whistles are added. New application, new processes. But new technology, for the most part, is simply a reintroduction. Somebody say reintroduction. Isaiah 43 says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. You ever see people get caught up in what used to be? How it used to be? What it was back in the day? God said, I'll introduce, behold, I do a new thing. And now it springs forth. Shall you not know it? I'll create it again. I do it. I'll improve it. Amen. We can see in our life that new version, that new iPhone, that new technology. And Jesus is a master of reintroductions. He's the master. The lost reintroduced as found. The blind were reintroduced with sight. The lame were reintroduced walking. And the bound were reintroduced delivered. The highly esteemed religious leaders reintroduced as only having a form of godliness. Peter, a fisherman, was reintroduced as the fisher of men. And Saul, who was killing Christians, was intercepted on the road of Damascus and reintroduced as Paul. Believe it or not, there is promotion in God. And every promotion deserves a reintroduction. What do you mean there's promotion? This is not corporate America. Well, you know, hey, there is promotion in God. Because the person that is faithful over a few things is promoted to being ruler over much. One that carries the weight of a talent successfully and works it right is rewarded with more talents. He's increased. She's increased. Those that bear fruit. The Father in John 15, what does it say? He said, when those that bear fruit, my Father comes and prunes them so they can bear more fruit and much fruit, and so that their fruit would remain. Give and it shall be given to you. Full measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Joshua, the servant of Moses, was reintroduced. He served Moses. God tell Moses, bring Joshua out before the people and put your honor on him because I've just made him your successor. Elisha, who washed the feet of Elijah, was rewarded for his diligence with a double portion of Elijah's spirit. There is promotion in God. This is a great place to transition because reintroduction doesn't happen overnight. Reintroduction is a process. It's a testing place. It's a place to test your temperament, test your patience, test your ability to work in difficult circumstances. Test your predisposition to selfishness. It's a testing place. God deals in reintroduction with the marred version of ourselves. And if we don't properly process this place, this process to reintroduction, we stay marred. And we got too many Christians that are marred. They're stuck on the wheel. God's trying to make something new in you, but they're stuck in the wheel. Marred means blemished. It means diminished. It means diminished in wholeness. It means spoiled. It means made less perfect. You ever see somebody less perfect in love? Almost there, but just marred. Amen. Flawed. Means snafu'd. Means totaled. Means glitched. Means out of kilter. On the fritz. In smithereen. And here's the killer of reintroduction. Here's a major killer. Pastor Gary and I were talking about it. Somehow it just dropped, and we just started talking about this thing. And I just saw God in this. A thing that will assassinate your process of reintroduction is the spirit of discontent. Spirit of discontent. What is the spirit of discontent? What is discontent? It's a lack of contentment, dissatisfaction, relentlessness, uneasiness, envy, displeasure, vexation. It's the state or feeling of mental dissatisfaction. It's an uneasiness of mind. Never satisfied. You got a car? Somebody said that's a nice car. Oh, yeah, but that's just my temporary car. Wait till I get my new car. Well, that's a nice house you're living in. Yeah, this house, but it's too small. I'm going to get me a different house. Man, can you stop for a moment? That was a great steak. Did you love that steak? Oh, I love that steak, but my beans were cold. Thank God you got that job. I heard you got that job. Yeah, but it don't pay enough. A spirit of discontent. This is the message. Everything else was preliminary. This is the message. A spirit of discontent that just rides you. Here's the origin of the word discontent. The meaning. It means an unquieted mind. A mind that just continues, spins, an unquiet mind. It means agitated, to be turbulent, to be restless. You know how discontent shows itself? It shows itself in dishonor. And its language is ungrateful. You want a bigger house? Can't really settle in your mind and really be content about the house you got. So you dishonor the house you're in while you're praying for a new house. And because this is your language of dishonor, you don't give praise for where you're at. See, the workings of God takes us through a process. And many times, and most times, the process of God is unpleasant. Sometimes we don't like it. We got a million complaints, very few compliments. And where there is no honor, there is no revelation. Where there's no honor, there is no revelation. Because you know what? Who's got some money? Anybody got some money on? Well, you got cash on you, man? All right, come on up here. Come here. All right. So here. This is dishonor. This is what dishonor. Honor says, here's Brother James. Brother James, I value him. Honor says, I'm going to add value to him. So here's 20. Here's 40. Here's 60. All right. So I've added honor to him. Dishonor, I can't see. I have no revelation of him if I dishonor him. So he's here. He's willing to serve. He's humble. Dishonor says, why he be late sometime? Why he got to wear them jeans and them tennis shoes? What I do? I take honor. And where there's dishonor, thanks, man. And I should have left you with some. I got you. If I can't see the value in him, dishonor takes from him. And where there's dishonor, there's no revelation. You got a car. Amen. We had a car that we had to push to start every time because manual transmission. I pushed it. Gail had to pop the clutch. Amen. So every time we go out there, and that's how we start today. Get that Chevette to start. Amen. And we can make it throughout the day. Just get that one star going, unless it rained. They didn't like being in the rain. But you might have to push it a couple of times. And so we always parked on a decline. You know what I'm saying? It was $95.90 a month. That's how much the payment was. And I think we cursed that car more than we did honor, to be honest with you. We got tired of pushing it. But we sure did admit we had no revelation of it. So we didn't look at the fact that it was transportation. We didn't look at the fact that if we pushed it, at least it ran. We didn't do what the Bible says to give thanks in all things. We cannot be grateful for it because we dishonored it. One day I'm at work at the bank. Pastor Gail calls me on the phone. She said, did you come get the car? I said, no, you know I didn't come get the car. I can't hardly start the car. Amen. They done repossessed the car. $95.90 repossessed it. Now that car we've been cursing, dishonoring, we sure didn't miss it when it was gone. Sometimes God will let you go through some losses. I know we talk blessing, but sometimes God will let you go through some losses to teach you gratitude. Amen. That's right. Amen. Thank you for my 300. It might be 12 years old, but thank God for it. Put some honor on it. And I really saw this, because I don't want to, we're going to Pearl's Event Center. It's a beautiful place, but it's not our own. So I found myself there. Lord, I want my own. I don't want to go nowhere else. I keep looking for my own. I want my own now. Discontent will mess with your ability, will make you compromise. Do you want that? But got it. You want that fine, that designer shirt. Amen. You know you can't afford it. Amen. But you can't be satisfied with Levi's. You can't be satisfied. Amen. So what do? Amen. That spirit of discontent will make you dissatisfied. So you feel as though the next thing, the designer thing, is better. Until you buy it. And they charge you 35% interest on it. And the people calling you on the phone want their money because you were dissatisfied and didn't know how to be content with what you had. And it's okay to desire more things, better things. But on your way, don't want them out of greed, but honor where you are. Come on, tell somebody, honor where you are. My God. You get a single lady, she got kids. Relationship messed up or whatever. Her kids need her. She's dissatisfied by, I ain't got no man. I need a man. You know, I want my babe back. Or I want somebody new. Kids need you. Need your support, need you teaching them, need your love, need you to be a mom. I've seen women can't parent the children they have for looking for something else. That dissatisfaction makes you move in impatience. And they'll end up getting some knucklehead. They wish they could give them back. Because they're satisfied. You know, thank God. So going back to me in the church, I said, you know what, God? Thank you for Jen to Jen. Thank you for Melrose. Thank you that it's not raining in here. Thank you that we got air conditioning. Thank you that we got musicians. Thank you that we have leaders. Thank you that we have seats. And Father, I know you're going to bless us with a home, but until then, I'm going to honor where I am. And I'm going to express the language of gratitude. So this spirit of discontent, I want to say it again because I want you to get it, has a posture of dishonor. And where there's dishonor, there's no revelation. There's no insight. You don't see the good in it. You extract only the negative. You take away from that very thing you're faced with. And the language of it, the posture is dishonor, the language is ungratefulness. Amen. Let me give you an example. Great example is Israel. Over 400 years in slavery, they're crying out to God. God, rescue us, Father, rescue us. We're getting abused, killing our first sons, making us, putting hard labor on us so they can trim the population. God, deliver us. Get us out of this mess. God raises up Moses. Send Moses down there to deliver. So I want you to go ahead, release. I'm going to be with you, Moses. I'm going to release these plagues. I'm going to exploit the God of the Egyptians. Go down there and get them, Moses. Moses shows up. He go to war. He moves a guy as God leads him. He gets the people out of Egypt. They come out of Egypt. One passage I read, 600,000 men alone. God does a major deliverance for them. But the problem, hand me my bag. One more thing, John. Hand me my bag. But the problem with them, thanks, man. They carrying with them a spirit of discontent. It's going for the ride. See, people think they'll be satisfied at another job, another church, another marriage. If you're working in a spirit of discontent, it's just going to go with you where you go. It's just right with you. It'll always be greener. It'll always be nice. It'll always, until you get there, and you realize you got the Spirit on you. You can't find a place. Who's riding with you? Going for the ride. And it's always interesting when I hear people criticize things to the degree, amen, to make themselves feel better. Well, my God, is there anything good you could say? I don't mess with the church. The church ain't this, and the church ain't that, and the church ain't. Why? Because that's Jesus' wife. And I ain't gonna let you talk about my wife like that. So I don't run Jesus' wife down. Jesus said, the church is my bride. I'm going to say, well, the church, amen, yeah, we need to pray for this. You know what? But thank God there's churches that got some glory. Thank God there's churches that got some presence. Thank God there's churches where salvation is happening. Let me put some honor on Jesus' wife. Amen. I love Elder Tyrone. He loved me, man. We have a great relationship. Man, I dog the Atlanta, man. That man, he'd turn on me. Your wife could be doing this, Elder. Your wife should be doing it. He'd be like, ho, 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 ho. Hold a minute. Ain't that right, Don? Don't come up here talking about Andrea now. No. What you, what? You know, you know, that hood, it got sanctified, but that hood is still in there. So here they come. They come out of Egypt. Come out of Egypt. They singing. Mary sings a song of Moses. They singing. Problem is, still got this thing on them. So as soon as they get to the Red Sea, but the Egyptians coming, they said, Moses, was there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? They don't forgot. You see how dishonor will hide revelation? They just had went through 10 plagues. They just got delivered. They just bore the Egyptian. They took their gold and necklaces. Amen. Took the Cartier glasses. Took the Louis Vuitton luggage. People just said, here, take it. Take it with you, go. But they dishonored the deliverance. They get over the Red Sea. The other side of the Red Sea, they continue. They get to waters that happen to be bitter. And they went through the Red Sea. They just went through the Red Sea. God let them through and drowned their enemies. Can I give you a lesson? Stop trying to satisfy a dissatisfied person with a spirit of discontent. You're never satisfied. We'll get to the waters. Water's bitter. Oh, Moses, why you got us out here? We died of thirst. We got to do something. Make the water sweet. Here. I've always ministered the spies going over to Canaan, the promised land, as an isolated incident. That they went over there, Moses sent them, go check out the land of promise, the land that God promised to Abraham generations ago. And I've always ministered that from the perspective they went over there and they saw themselves small, and they saw the men as giants. But now in context, I see it differently. Of course, they saw the enemy as large, as an opposing force, but it was the spirit of discontent that was on them all along. They just manifested the same thing they manifested at every test. They found something wrong. And when you have a spirit of discontent, see, I'm getting you ready for your reintroduction. Weird, because if God can reintroduce you, but if you carry this baggage, you're going to curse your new place. Amen. I've been guilty of it. I ain't want to pass it. I'm passing out of obedience. I don't want to pass. Lord, I don't know what to do with these people. I don't know what to do with people. Lord, I don't know if I have patience with people. Lord, help me. Then I get ordained. I don't want to be called apostle. Don't call me apostle. Just call me John. I'm good. John is good. What am I? I'm dishonored. As long as you're dishonored, you have no what? Revelation. And the language is ungratefulness. Instead of saying, Lord, thank you that you entrust me with grace. Lord, thank you that you entrust me with grace. Thank you, Lord, that I can pray. Thank you, Lord, that I can sing. You know, those that can sing. Thank you, Lord, that I have this gift. You know, I'm not going to just curse what you placed on my life. So they go over to the land. Okay, go over there. This is in Numbers. It's also in Exodus. You could research it, read it. They go over there. What they do? They say, okay, fruitful? Yes. Flows with milk and honey, prosperous, fertile ground, yes. Greenery, nice where we could build houses, yes. Checks all the boxes except one. Be careful if you're the person that looks for the one box unchecked. If you don't look at the boxes checked, you're always looking for what's not checked. What's not checked. Amen. Amen. I've been married a long time. I don't look at Pastor Gail until she's lost weight. She's lost weight. When Pastor Gail was our highest, was about 230 pounds. Yeah, that's our highest. What's highest? I may pay for that later. I don't know. But I'm okay. But what I'm saying, let me finish now. I never, ever complained about her weight all the years we married. Amen. Amen. Never. Amen. When there was more pushing, it was all good. It was all good. It was a little, amen. Don't take it there. Amen. Amen. Erase that. Erase that. Amen. But it was all good. I never complained. I love my wife, but she need to lose this weight or whatever. No, I love me. She's beautiful. Man. She's beautiful. I mean, it doesn't matter. Amen. 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 Never complain. I honored her where she was. She ain't complained about me losing my hair. Amen. If I call on the phone right now, she hold up her phone, it'll say, Big Papa. Big Papa. Amen. We ain't what we used to be. Amen. No, you ain't what you used to be. But there's honor in who you are now. Now don't y'all be calling me Apostle Big Papa. I'll have to rebuke. I'll have to rebuke you. I have to rebuke you. We're not going there. So they get over to the promised land. They come back. They said, Moses, 10 out of the 12. He said, Moses, the land is everything you said. Everything that God said. It is. But, You want to know how to deal with the spirit of discontent? See if I have this verse. Go to Numbers. Pull up Numbers 13 for me. Pull up Numbers 13, verse 30. And you can start. I'm coming in. Numbers 13, 30. Is that the NIV? I have a different try. Okay. So here they are. They're complaining about the one thing, the giants. You want to deal with spirit discontent? Then Caleb silenced. In the translation I have, then Caleb said, be quiet. Because you know what the spirit of discontent does? They don't want to carry this alone. Because what happened is that they went and they started spreading lies throughout all the camp. Because misery loves company. So I got to get you to buy in with me. So not only did they just say that those are large guys in the land, they didn't just say that there's giants in the land, but they exaggerated it. They lie in order to bring people into their discontent. And when Joshua and Caleb said, listen, don't listen to them. We can do this. They said, be quiet. Caleb said, be quiet. You ought to stop people mid-sentence sometimes. Instead of listening to all that, you ought to say, be quiet. I mean, you could be nice about it. Say, let's stop that right now. Stop that right now because we're going down the wrong road. Stop that right now. Let's stop that right now because that's not what we're speaking. Stop that right now. Stop because that's not faith. Stop that right now. Stop that right now because that's not honor. You think it's people. It's a spirit working behind the scenes that wants to rob you of your new version, of your next place, of your promotion. Because if I can get you to buy in with me like those 10 spies, now nobody goes in. That was a spirit they got in Egypt. They just carried that spirit right to it, right in the face of what was promised, right in the face of great victory. The spirit of discontent just rode right there, right at the brink. They literally cursed their blessing because they couldn't quiet their mind. And they dishonored what God wanted to do for them. And they lacked, and they were ungrateful for what he'd already done. God says, you know what? I can't deal with this generation. Just like Jesus said, I can't do no miracles in my hometown. Here I am, Jesus, the Son of the living God. And they don't even recognize me because they don't honor me. They have no honor for me. They don't even see the miracles I could do. They don't see the healing I could do. They don't see how I can cast out. They don't even see the power I possess because they dishonor me. So he did a few miracles. He had to go. And he went somewhere else and the masses came to him. They did not see, had no insight, and had no revelation of Christ. God said, this woman, I can't deal with this generation. You're going to go back to the wilderness. You're on the wheel. You're fragmented. You're marred. You're broken. I'm trying to make you into something beautiful. It's not the hardness of the vessel that the maker, the potter, is going for. Sure, he wants it to be hard. It's the purpose of what he's making. God has us on the wheel. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it takes humility. It takes humbling ourselves from our presuppositions and the way our mama taught us, the way we grew up. Sometimes it takes taking down from all that. Taking down from the the beam that's in the 2x4 that's in our eye. Because marred people have marred perspectives. Broken people have broken perspectives. I'm reading this National Geographic on the brain, and it talks about how hurt brains hurt people. But if you would let God deal with you, that's why the Bible says, count it all joy. Ooh, when you fall into a whole bunch of pain. Count it all joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. But it's hard, Lord. Give honor to it. Because this is the will of God concerning you. Romans 8:28 said, all things work together what? For good. So this is going to work, Father, for my good. I don't see it now. It's going to work to my good. Give you praise. Philippians 4:8 said, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, I'm going to quiet my mind. I'm going to quiet the doubt and the criticism and the cynicism. And I'm a reprogram my mind to what's true and what's honest and what's just and what's pure and what's lovely and what's a good report, that which is of a virtue. I'm going to quiet my mind from discontent. I'm going to say, Father, thank you for what I have. I honor this moment. I'm like Paul. I know how to abound. I know how to abase. In all stages of life, I know how to be content. Because it's working out for me. And I'm going to let God finish, man. Don't get stuck on that wheel, man. You know, some Christian, we've been on that wheel for 30 years, man. God's still coming. You know, God's long-suffering, amen? And the enemy wants to keep you on that wheel, amen, because he figured what you can do at the age of 25, amen, till you leave this earth, amen, he keep you on that wheel till you're 99. He figured you may not have much longer. Here you go, 99, you finally got your breakthrough. Oh, I learned how to love my enemies. Oh, Lord. Yeah, 99. I've been on the wheel for 99 years. Lord, been trying to deal with me about this issue for 90 years. He's been trying to get me, stop me from being envious for 90 years. Lord, still trying to get that out of me, work that out of me, shape that out of me, mold that out of me. I got 1 year of fruit. I get to heaven. Lord going to say, son, daughter, you could have had 75 years of good fruit if you'd have just let me work that discontent out of your life. Let's get ready for our reintroduction. Let's get ready for our reintroduction. Let's get ready. If you dishonor something, man, just Lord, you know what, Father? I just repent of that. I'm gonna place honor on that. I'm gonna add value to that. Not am I gonna place honor on it, I'm gonna add value to it. I'm gonna find the value. Give me revelation of where I am right now. And I give you the language of content, I give you gratitude. Lord, in all circumstances, I give you praise. You might be in a hard place, a difficult place right now. Amen. But can you give them the language of gratitude? Come on, let's put our hands together and thank God for where you are. You might be going through some things, but come on and give him the language of contentment. Who doesn't want more money, more land? But thank God for what I have today. Thank God for the Chevette we had. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the relationships we have. You may not have all your family. Some, you know, sometimes there's rifts in family. But thank God for the family I have. Amen. Amen. Place honor on it. You'll get revelation of it. God will show you how to make it better. He'll show you how to grow. He'll give you the secrets of it. You put honor on it. Come on, let's stand. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 I just want to pray for those that are online right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I want every person online, I want you to share and tag someone this with this message. Tag someone. Send it to them. God has so much for us. His plans toward us, his purpose for our life, wants to increase us, enlarge us, promote us, give us double portion. We cannot curse where we are right now. Thus, I place honor, even on the difficult circumstances, knowing that he is with us, both to will and do of his good pleasure. He's with us. It's going to work to our good. He's with us. We give praise in all circumstances in the name of Jesus. So I pray if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, that's the first step to know Jesus as your Lord. So Father, I thank you that you have a plan for me, and I've lived my life trying to satisfy myself with things that don't really matter, only to find that the void is still there. One thing after another. Never enough money. Never enough designer stuff. Never enough bling. Never enough. Not just on this wheel, this hamster wheel of achieving more, but going nowhere. Jesus, you are the one that satisfies the soul. So if you're online today, or even if you're here, you say, you know what? I'm going to receive Jesus because I'm tired of chasing after stuff that never really satisfies. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I accept you as Lord. There's information on the screen. You could reach out, contact us, and we'll contact you in the name of Jesus. I speak blessing over your life. Amen. The ways to give are going to come up on the screen, as well as the announcements. Amen. Please those give those your attention. Join me tomorrow for our 6 a.m. prayer and our 7 a.m. Monday meditation. In Jesus' name, let's give our connected community a hand.